Welcome and thank you for joining us for today's IBM teleconference, Simplified Development of Modern Web 2.0 User Interface for CICS and IMS with EGL. Today's teleconference will be recorded, will last approximately 60 minutes, and will include a live question and answer session. In this teleconference, you will learn how IBM's popular enterprise generation language, technology, and tools, currently available in several RATIONAL products, including RATIONAL Developer for Z with EGL, enable faster creation of Web 2.0 applications without the pain of learning and using HTML, JavaScript, and AJAX. The speaker for today's teleconference is Will Smythe, IBM RATIONAL Business Developer and EGL Product Line Manager. At this time, I would like to hand it over to our speaker, Will Smythe.
Thank you. Yeah, so what I wanted to talk about today was, one, give sort of a quick overview of EGL, kind of talk about what it is and really what the value is of EGL. Talk about some of the tools that IBM RATIONAL provides around EGL, and then also talk about how EGL can be used to help modernize the user interfaces for KICS and IMS. Because we also just announced the EGL Community Edition yesterday, I want to quickly talk about that, talk about what it is, how it is different than some of the other tools that we already offer. So if you go to slide number 2, so EGL is IBM's newest business language, and so EGL is a higher-level programming language that's really designed for building business applications. And the overall goal of EGL is really to shield developers from a lot of the complexities typically involved in customers are involved with when building applications, or developers are involved with building applications. And so what we've tried to do with EGL is to make the development process simpler. And so EGL is also a very cross-platform and cross-tier language, which means that the code you develop, the EGL code you develop, can actually be deployed into a number of different places. It can be deployed as Java, it can be deployed as COBOL, and now with our new Web 2.0 support, it can be deployed as JavaScript. And so what's nice also about EGL is the fact that it's targeted at all types of developers, so not just object-oriented developers, but traditional developers, traditional COBOL developers, PO1 developers, as well as object-oriented developers. So it's really a nice language for all developer types, regardless of background. It allows them to build these cross-platform, cross-tier, powerful applications. As we'll talk about quite a bit today, there's Web 2.0 support now built into EGL. And so what this means is with EGL, you can now build rich web applications based on JavaScript and AJAX without actually having to learn JavaScript or AJAX. And really the key to these kinds of applications is SOA and the concept of services. So these applications are really driven by services. And so EGL has built-in service support to make it easy to build new services as well as to expose existing information and data and processes as services. We won't talk about it too much today, but EGL is also a great target language for migrations. So we offer a number of different offerings that take legacy code from various languages like Natural, and we migrate that into EGL. So it's something called RATIONAL Migration Extension. Like I said, we won't talk too much about that, but there is information out there if you want to learn more about that topic. So if you go to slide number 3, some of the benefits of EGL. So as I talked about before, with EGL you can write the code once and deploy it in a lot of different ways. So I can write a service once and deploy it as a Java SOAP service or a Java web service or as a KICS COBOL service. And so one of the key benefits of EGL is really flexibility in terms of platform deployment. With the Web 2.0 support, one of the benefits now of EGL is the ability to quickly and easily build rich user interfaces. And so this is really where the web is going today, and I'll talk more about that here in a little bit. But the ability to build very compelling, rich, interactive applications that run in a browser. So it's definitely a different model than what we're typically used to with Web 1.0 style applications. Integration, this is sort of a key concept for today's discussion, but this is basically the ability for EGL to wrapper and extend existing assets, so existing KICS transactions, for example, being able to expose those transactions out as web services. And there's a couple of different approaches that you can take when doing that, and I have a slide later where I'll talk more to that. Productivity is another major benefit, and as I talked about before, one of the overall goals of EGL is to make the life of the developer easier so that they can focus more on solving the business problems and not fighting with technology. Adaptability. So we recently posted something to our developer community site that talked about how EGL has evolved over time and has basically adapted as technology changes. So as technology changes, EGL has been right there with, you know, SOA service support as well as Web 2.0 support, just to name two examples. And as I mentioned before, another benefit of EGL is that it is an excellent target for migration of existing code, COBOL code, natural RPG, etc. And this, really the benefit here is the fact that it's typically a one-to-one kind of migration, a one line of code to one line of EGL code migration. So you're not seeing a huge expansion of the code when you do the migration. So slide number four. So briefly wanted to talk about some of the tools available from Rational for doing EGL development. So EGL tools are now part of three different offerings from IBM. The one that you will be most interested in is Rational Developer for Z with EGL. And so this is our premier System Z IDE for doing development on System Z. You know, it has built-in COBOL editing, PO1 editing, things like that. But it also, the with EGL flavor, has the EGL tools built into it as well. So what's nice about this is that you have a single IDE for all kinds of development, both, you know, back-end development of COBOL code, for example, as well as now front-end Web 2.0 development for your front-end. We also have another tool, Rational Business Developer, which is really targeted at our Windows or distributed customer set. And then we have another tool that's targeted for our IBM i or iSeries customer set. But just like what you'd expect with any IDE, it's got, you know, visual and source editors, you know, code completion, all sorts of, you know, wizards and editors and things like that to help make the development process easier. So there are trials available of all these tools, so you can actually go out today and pull down one of these trials and actually play with the tools on your own workspace. We also have something called the EM Sandbox, which is where you can actually log in and use these tools without having to download anything to your machine. So if you just do a search out on Google or Yahoo for EM Sandbox, EM as in Enterprise Modernization, you'll be able to access those trials as well. So slide number five, I won't go over all the details here, but really this is just to highlight some of the key benefits of Rational Developer for Z with EGL. So as I mentioned before, RDZ with EGL is really our premier IDE for developing on System Z. It's got a whole host of capabilities for interacting with both, you know, data sets and files on System Z, as well as COBOL and PL1 code and JCL capabilities as well. And now with the Rational Developer for Z with EGL tool that we offer, you now have the EGL tools included as well. So if you look at slide number six, this basically just kind of describes how the process works with EGL. So the developer is going to use the EGL tools within their developer workspace, so their Eclipse-based development tool. You know, the developer will write applications just like they would write applications in any language. And then what happens is that code is then compiled into either Java, if the target is a web application server like WebSphere, or COBOL, if the target is System Z, for example, or IBM i, if you have any of those boxes as well. And also that same code or different code can also be compiled as JavaScript. And so what this means is that with a single workbench, with a single IDE, the developer can develop both back-end code and client-side code all in a single language, and then that code is then compiled and deployed out as either, you know, standard Java, COBOL, or JavaScript. And as you can see there from the bullets on the right, those are the different places where code can be deployed, whether we're talking Java code, JavaScript code, or COBOL code. So you can do, obviously, batch on System Z. You can do kicks and IMS. So if you look at slide number seven, this just kind of takes the next step there and just sort of demonstrates the fact that once that code is deployed, it's going to be running code just like as if you had written it in COBOL or if you had written it in Java. And then users can then access that code in various ways, whether we're talking about accessing that code, which was deployed as a service from an external system, or whether we're talking about JavaScript code that will be running on a browser. So, you know, kind of the key benefit here, or the key point, is the fact that with EGL you can generate both your back-end code and your client-side code, all developing it in a single language. And that really goes back to the point of making it easier for developers to build applications, because they're focused less on learning a lot of different technologies. They don't have to learn both COBOL and JavaScript and HTML. They really just have to learn EGL, and you know, we support all the various places that that code needs to run. So slide number 8, I did want to kind of throw this out there. So there's a lot of talk out there in the industry and from Rational about Rational Team Concert. And so Rational Team Concert is basically our new team-based collaborative development environment based on JAS technology. So JAS is basically an open commercial project, you know, comparable to Eclipse that we've developed, IBM has developed. And so I just wanted to highlight the fact that Rational Team Concert, Rational Team Concert for SystemZ work with the EGL development tools. So what this means is that an EGL developer can check in EGL code into the source code repository. You can set up work items, you can set up team areas, you can set up all your process rules for doing your development, you can track requirements. So all the benefits that you hear about around Rational Team Concert and Rational Team Concert for Z apply to EGL development as well. So wanted to make sure that that was out there and obvious. So slide 9, just to kind of transition here a little bit. So sort of the point of this webcast is really to talk about Web 2.0 and UI modernization. And so to kind of give you a little bit of background on this, so slide 9 just kind of shows the evolution of computing sort of over time, kind of showing sort of how the pendulum has swung between client and server. And kind of where we're at today with Web 2 is that, you know, the pendulum is sort of in the middle now, where the client and the server are both very involved in the computing or in the application's computing. So kind of to drill into exactly what that means, if you kind of look at Web 1.0 computing, so sort of the traditional web development that we're used to, or the web applications that we're used to, that, you know, where you have either HTML served up from a server, or you have JSPs, or you have ASPs, or CGI scripts or Perl scripts, those scripts are all running on the server, and then the server is basically just generating HTML, which gets sent to the browser. And there's typically not a lot of stuff happening in the browser. There may be some JavaScript, but typically anytime any sort of work needs to be done in a Web 1.0 model, the request goes back to the server, and then the server sort of processes the request and sends down a whole brand new page back to the client. And so you have these situations where you're sending basically the same page over and over down to the client from the server. What we have with Web 2 is the fact that, you know, the server may send down an initial page to the client, and then the client, because there's a lot of JavaScript running in the client, may actually modify that page and do things to that page that previously had to be done by the server. And so what this does is it decreases back and forth with the server. So instead of full pages being sent down from the server, you now have just little bitty service requests using AJAX going up to the server. So you can kind of almost think about it as an application running in a browser that's interacting with the server via service calls. So it's quite a different model than your traditional Web 1.0 style, where web applications are really just a combination of pages that come down from the server. So I definitely wanted to highlight the fact that, you know, the web model is changing. And if you look at slide number 10, this goes into a little bit more detail on what I was saying on the previous slide. The fact that web applications today are really no longer just static, server-side generated collections of pages. They're really dynamic applications running in a browser that have a lot of JavaScript, they have a lot of AJAX that enable some of these key capabilities that you now see in Web 2.0 applications. You start seeing the ability to actually replace desktop GUI applications now. I mean, there's a lot of examples out there. You know, you think about like Google Docs or Google Apps. You think about Facebook. These are very powerful dynamic applications that are running in a browser. They're all pure JavaScript. And so that's really what's enabling these applications is JavaScript and AJAX. Another key sort of point of Web 2.0 is the fact that you're building applications built on open standards. So you're using things like JavaScript and Ajax, which are pretty much standard now on any modern browser. Any recent browser has JavaScript support, has Ajax support. There are other vendors out there today that are building Web 2 solutions, but they're not really using open technologies. You think about Adobe and what they're doing with Flex and Flash. They produce similar results, but they're requiring additional software to be running on the client machine in order to get those results. They have plugins that have to be installed. Whereas a true Web 2.0 application is pure JavaScript, pure Ajax, and it runs in the browser. And so that's what we're trying to target with what we've done here with EGL, is that we're not trying to replace HTML or JavaScript. We are essentially making it easier to develop JavaScript and HTML-based applications. So continuing on slide 10 there a little bit, some of the benefits or some of the characteristics of a Web 2.0 application, you typically have a simplified, powerful user interface. You typically have the concept of a mashup where you have data being pulled in from various different sources. You typically have content that's being dynamically updated. And this is all happening without the browser being fully refreshed or the user initiating the update. So really what it ends up doing is, going back to that previous point, you're really creating a dynamic, rich application that's running in the browser. And these applications are really, if you think about some of the business applications we have today, it makes a lot of sense to start moving those applications to the web and start and replace those existing maybe green screen applications with a more rich web-based user interface. So kind of the key point there is that, I mentioned an example like Facebook, but Web 2.0 is not just about sort of college kid applications. It really can be used to enable business applications as well. So slide number 11, this just shows a little bit more detail on what a mashup is. And as I mentioned before, a mashup is really just a combination of data from a lot of different sources. And the key here is relevant data. And so what's happening here is that a developer is able to quickly build an application because they're using components and data from various sources. So if you think about maybe some of the systems that you have today, and think about the fact that you probably have a lot of information that would be useful to combine into one place, so that maybe your user isn't jumping all over the place to get this information. The idea here with the mashup is that you could, as a development shop, you could combine all this data together for the user so that they aren't jumping all over the place to get to this information. So you're being able to rapidly build these applications, you're able to reuse what you have, and you're really empowering the users to be more productive. And I see examples all the time with green screen systems where a user has to have two or three terminal sessions up because they have different systems and there's no way that the systems basically aren't talking and data has to be keyed in multiple times on these various systems. So with a mashup, you really have the ability to both combine data entry, and then the back end can sort of handle putting that data in the right place or pulling that data from the right place. So slide number 12. So we've talked about sort of the benefits of Web 2 and Web 2.0 style applications, but the real problem here is that it's very difficult today for most developers to build a rich Web 2.0 style application. Developers must learn more than just one technology. They need to learn JavaScript. They need to understand how Ajax works. They typically need to understand what JavaScript object notation is and SOAP is if they're going to be interacting with services. So it's not just about learning one thing. It's really about learning multiple technologies and making them all work together. There's also the issue of browser incompatibility, so differences in browsers. So having to write different JavaScript to handle different variations in different browsers. So kind of the main point here is the fact that these applications, these rich Web 2.0 applications, are typically difficult to create. They require a lot of time. They typically require multiple languages and technologies to develop until now. And so if you look at slide number 13, what we've done with EGL is we've developed technology to make it simple to build these Web 2.0 style applications. And so the developer can write the full, complete application, both back-end code and server and client-side code, or just client-side code if it needs to just interact with existing services, all within a single language. And so this is really key that, you know, the developer is building a web application, they're building a JavaScript-based application, but they're writing it completely in EGL. They're never dropping down into HTML. They're never writing JavaScript. And really, to kind of, you know, sort of pound that point just one more time, the fact that you can write your server-side code, your services, for example, that go after data or call other services in a language, EGL, as well as write the UI in a single language, it's a very powerful story because the developer only has to learn a single language to build a complete solution. So with EGL, the code that the developer writes is compiled down into JavaScript. So it's standard JavaScript that can run in any browser that we support, which is all the major browsers. So we're not replacing HTML and or JavaScript like other technologies from other vendors try to do. We're allowing the developer to write code in a simpler language, in a more productive, more focused language, and then that code is then compiled into standard HTML and JavaScript. It's fully extensible so that if there's an existing JavaScript library or a widget library that you need to interact with or use within your application, you can use it within your EGL application. So you can basically create, we call it an external type, but it's basically like a wrapper or an interface around that external code, and then the developer can work with that widget or that library just as if it was an EGL widget or library. So the developer can stay within the EGL programming model as they use existing JavaScript code or widgets. And as I mentioned before, these applications are driven completely by web services. So all the interaction between these applications, which are all running in the browser, is all happening via service calls, either SOAP service calls or something called REST. It's just a more generalized way of doing web services. So if you look at slide number 14, just to kind of give you an example of what EGL looks like. So on the left there, you can kind of see what some simple EGL looks like to create this map and this text field at the bottom here. So in this example, we basically have a very simple text entry field and a Go button. And whenever a user types into that field and presses Go, we simply show that address on this Google map that we have. And so if you look up in the code there for EGL, you'll notice that we're not writing any HTML. We're not writing any JavaScript. The developer is simply creating what we call a handler. They're adding widgets to the handler. They're attaching event handler functions to widgets. In this case, they're attaching an on-click handler to their Go button so that whenever that Go button is clicked by the user, this EGL function will get called. And all that function does is take the address that the user typed and pass it to our map widget. And so with just that little bit of code that's all compiled into JavaScript, you end up with a nice little simple application. If you look on the right, it may be a little bit hard to see because of those bullets, but you can see on the right that's the code that it would take to write the same simple application with HTML and JavaScript. And so we basically just, for demonstration purposes, just shown what the Google Map code would look like, what the JavaScript would look like, what the HTML would look like. So the idea here is to simplify the programming model. HTML is a very general purpose thing. You can really use HTML to build anything. With EGL, we're really focused on building what we call business applications or real applications where you have forms and you have tables and you have buttons. And so we've tried to make that as simple as possible to do, but still offer all the flexibility that you need to build whatever kind of application you want to build. So slide 15, I'll go through these slides pretty quickly. This just basically shows sort of the architecture of EGL Rich UI, and what this is showing here is sort of the development process where the developer is essentially writing code within the development tool. That code is compiled on the fly into either JavaScript or Java, if we're talking about services. And that application can be previewed right from within the IDE. So the developer can basically do all their development, testing, debugging within the IDE. And those applications they build can actually call existing services. So if you've already built a Kix web service, for example, you could import that WSDL file from RDZ, if you use RDZ to create that Kix web service, import that WSL file into your EGL project, and we'll generate all the code, the EGL code that you need to then interact with that service. So that's all happening within the IDE. Sort of the next step on slide 16 is that the developer runs a deployment operation, which essentially packages up all that EGL code, which is then compiled into JavaScript or Java, packages all that stuff up into a standard JEE web application, which then gets deployed to an application server like WebSphere Application Server or Tomcat or Apache, in the case of a simple application where you don't have any services. But essentially what you're doing is you're packaging up a complete application that has your UI code in it, and it could have services on it, or that UI could be directly accessing existing running services. So if you already have services, web services deployed somewhere, you could just simply have your UI code call those services directly. And that's kind of what I was trying to illustrate on the previous slide, and I think it's actually maybe illustrated a little bit better on slide 17, where you can see there how the application can call existing services, not just services that were written in EGL running in the application server. So slide number 17 basically just shows sort of the end user perspective here, where they access a standard URL, just like they would access for any other web application. That entire JavaScript HTML application will come down to the browser on the client, and then will be essentially running as an application within the browser. And then if any services need to be invoked, those services are invoked back through the server where the code came from, and then the service is invoked wherever it's running. So it's quite a bit of a different model in some ways than Web 1.0, because if we're thinking about Web 1.0 again, you typically have HTML coming down with every single request back to the server. But in the case of Web 2, you have a big application that comes down initially, and we have technology that will actually compress it down so it's not that big of an application. You have an initial blob of HTML and JavaScript that comes down initially, and then that application then makes asynchronous AJAX service calls back to various services running wherever they're running, whether they're Kix web services or Java-based web services. And that's really how the client then interacts with the server. So if you look at slide number 18, so we've kind of talked a little bit about the fact that you can build back-end code with EGL, but I also alluded to the point that you can simply just use EGL for building the UI for your application. So if you like the EGL technology, but you already have existing services that are running out there today, if you've already gone down an SOA path and you've already built a set of web services, you could use EGL simply for building the user interface that runs in the browser. So you get all the same benefits of being able to more easily build the rich JavaScript-based application without learning HTML or JavaScript, and then that application would then call and interact with existing services that you've already created. And this is kind of where RDZ comes into the picture as well, where you can use RDZ today to build web services for existing COBOL programs, for example, and then those web services can then be called by your EGL Rich UI front-end application, which is running in the browser. And the whole point here, and this is kind of sort of the rational EM message, is the fact that it's much easier in some cases to be able to just reuse what you already have as opposed to rewrite it. It can be cost savings involved with not having to completely rewrite stuff that you already have. The idea here is to reuse what you already have, expose it as services, and there's a couple of approaches for doing that, and then using EGL Rich UI to build a new front end for it. So moving on to the next slide, this just goes into a little bit more detail on a couple of the different approaches you could use EGL for. And so I talked about the fact that, let's say you already have existing programs running in Kix, for example, or IMS, you could use RDZ to build a web service for that. which would then be hosted in Kix using, you know, in the Kix web service runtime. And then you could just simply invoke that service from your EGL Rich UI application. So in that example, the EGL code you write is generated completely into JavaScript, and then that application then calls your Kix web service. You can also use, as I mentioned before, you could actually write Kix web services in EGL. So you could go into the IDE, create a new service completely in EGL, and then actually deploy it as a Kix COBOL web service. And so this is the example where you want to be able to write new services, new business logic in EGL, but then deploy it back to Kix. So that's kind of what option two is number there, or what option two is. And just like with option one, once you have a Kix web service, you can simply bring that WSDL, that WSDL file, into your development environment, and then actually hook it into your EGL Rich UI application and call it. Option three is basically using a different approach where you have an existing COBOL program running already, and then you can use the J2C connector technology to actually invoke those programs from an EGL service running on a mid-tier like WebSphere application server. So in this example here, you've written an EGL service that simply does nothing more than, in the simplest case, just call an existing program. And so this is nice in those situations where you don't have the latest version of CSCS and you have existing COBOL programs that you want to be able to call and expose the services. You're essentially just using EGL as a way to build services that then wrapper existing programs. And then those services can then be brought in and used in your Rich UI application. So that's the next slide on slide 20 is more about this from an IMS perspective. And so a couple of things here. So just like with Kix, in EGL, you can write EGL code and then actually deploy it in various ways to IMS, both as both batch or interactive applications. You can also build text UIs if you actually wanted to with EGL. Obviously, the point of this call is to talk about web UIs, so there's not a lot of focus there on text UIs. But you also have a way to use the IMSO gateway to build services for existing IMS applications. And then because those are just standard SOAP services, you can interact and call those just like any other service from your EGL Web 2.0 application. So, the whole sort of bottom line point behind the last couple of slides is the fact that EGL Rich UI can be used, or EGL can be used to build just the front-end UI of your new application, or use it as a front-end to call existing services or existing programs that you already have. And so this kind of goes back to my point about using EGL as a way to modernize the UI without throwing away your existing programs that are running out there on Kix or IMS today. And one thing I'll point out is the fact that out on our developer community site, we actually do have this little mortgage calculator. So you can kind of see it there on slide 20. This little mortgage calculator shows various approaches for calculating just a simple mortgage on a house. And one of the examples shows it with IMS. So we actually, with Kix, so we actually have a service running out in Kix that this little calculator calls. But the whole point here is just to demonstrate the fact that you can build a web UI with EGL that calls an existing service, whether that's a Kix web service, an IMS service through IMS SOAP Gateway, or really any kind of SOAP service or REST service. Okay, so slide 21. So I did mention that yesterday IBM formally announced the EGL Community Edition. So if you look at slide number 22, the goal of EGL Community Edition is really to provide a simple development environment for doing EGL. And so we wanted to make sure that everybody has access to the EGL technology. Because as it stood sort of before we did the Community Edition, EGL was really only available to customers that purchased one of our rational tools that had EGL. And really for any language to sort of thrive and to prosper and to grow, it really needs to be generally available and accessible. So it needs to be available and free to everybody. And so that's what we've done with the EGL Community Edition. So if you look at slide number 23, what it is it's a free Eclipse-based tool that simplifies the Web 2.0 development. So essentially what we've done is we've taken the rich UI technology out of our rational tools, and we've also taken the ability to build Java-based services from our rational tools and combined it into a simpler, smaller Eclipse-based tool. And the idea here is that a user could go pull down this tool when it's available next week, pull down this tool, and build an end-to-end application, both the front-end code and the back-end code. And so out of the box, we use some Dojo widgets. So Dojo is just a popular widget toolkit out there that people use to build powerful JavaScript-based applications. So we've included a whole set of these Dojo widgets in the EGL Community Edition out of the box, so graphing widgets and tab folders and sorting grids and things like that. So developers can now build a very compelling, rich user interface right out of the box with the Community Edition. As I mentioned also, we allow developers to build services, and so they can build standard SOAP or REST services that can, you know, access databases, they can call other services, whatever those services need to do. And then, you know, what the sort of end result here is that the developer will package up this application that they built and just deploy it as any other standard J2EE application to Tomcat. In EGL Community Edition, we support Tomcat, Apache Tomcat, as the application server. So if you look at slide 24, this just highlights some of the differences or the features in EGL Community Edition compared to our rational EGL tools, so the rational business developer or the RDZ EGL. So really the key thing here is that EGL Community Edition is designed for Web 2 JavaScript and Java server development. So we haven't included the COBOL compilation generation capability. So there's no Kix web service generation capability, for example, in the Community Edition. You can call existing COBOL programs with the Community Edition. We just don't provide the ability to build new Kix services with the version that we put out there today or next week. The JSF support, so JSF is a Web 1.0 style technology for building web applications. We have not included that in the Community Edition. It's really about rich UI and the Web 2.0 capabilities. And then, you know, the other key thing to point out with EGL Community Edition is that it is free, and it does not have official support from IBM, which means you wouldn't be able to call up IBM if you ran into a bug or something like that with the Community Edition. We do have a forum that we've set up on our cafe that will be launched next week where people will be able to post questions and get help through any problems that they run into with the Community Edition. It's also English only, the Community Edition is. So as I mentioned, that will be available next Tuesday is the planned availability date. It's about 250 megabytes, so we definitely are encouraging people to go pull down the Community Edition, download it, and give it a try. We've actually made quite a few improvements to Community Edition over what we provide in RBD today. Things like some enhancements around deployment, making service invocation easier, including the Dojo widgets out of the box. So there are some differences, but as I mentioned, it's not supported, and it's free. So if we move on, so slide number 26, I did want to highlight that we do have free, I'll highlight free again, what we call distance learning for EGL. And so this is a two-week course that IBM offers for free where a developer can go in and learn EGL in 2 weeks. And it's really not a full 2 weeks. It's really a few hours per day of instructional help over the phone and over a web conference. And then a few hours per day of sort of on your own doing some tutorials and doing some step-by-step type stuff. But the goal of the distance learning is to really jumpstart the developer to understand and learn EGL. So the first week is really focused on the foundations of EGL, the language and the tools. And then week two is focused primarily on the Web 2.0 development side of EGL, so building those rich web applications with EGL that call services, etc. So we actually have the next distance learning is coming up here in a couple of weeks. It's on September 14th. We also have another one planned for November 30th. And if you don't have time to actually take the course, we have all the materials available on our EGL Cafe Developer Community site, which if you flip to slide 27, you can see more about that here. So the EGL Cafe is our sort of premier official community developer site for EGL, the language. And so out here we have discussion forums and we have blog posts. We have something that we just launched back in April called the EGL Gallery, which is a collection of sample applications, sample code, things like that. You know, we also have various presentations and videos and articles. And as I mentioned, we also have all those educational materials that you would get if you took the distance learning class. So those are all available. You could download those today. We also have a collection of success stories around EGL, so you can hear about what other customers and ISVs have done with EGL, how it's made them more productive, and just kind of get a feel for, you know, what other customers are using EGL for. So I definitely encourage you to go out to the cafe as sort of a first step. You'll be able to go out there and learn more about the community edition, and you'll also be able to start pulling down presentations to kind of get you started with EGL. So with that, I will turn it back over to the operator for questions.
Thank you, Will. Now we would like to ask you to participate in a brief electronic survey. Right after the survey, we will have a live question and answer session with the presenter. Your feedback is important to us, and we do appreciate the time you take to answer these questions. To participate, simply press the star key followed by the number that best corresponds to your choice. Please listen to all options before making your selection. Question 1. Please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's teleconference. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. If it was low, press star 3. You may vote now. Again, please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's teleconference. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. And if it was low, press star 3. Please vote now. Question 2. Was the level of technical information presented in this teleconference? If it was at the right level, press star 1. If it was not technical enough, press star 2. If it was more technical than I needed to hear, press star 3. You may vote now. Again, was the level of technical information presented in this teleconference? If it was at the right level, press star 1. If it was not technical enough, press star 2. If it was more technical than I needed to hear, press star 3. Please vote now. One moment, please. Question 3. Does your company currently have developers supporting multiple environments such as mainframe, IBM I, System I, or other platforms such as System X? If yes, and they each have their own development platform and process, press star 1. If yes, and have already adopted a common developer platform tool, press star 2. If only have one platform in the company, press star 3. You may vote now. Again, does your company currently have developers supporting multiple environments such as mainframe, IBM I, System I, or other platforms such as System X? If yes, and they each have their own development platform and process, press star 1. If yes, and have already adopted a common developer platform tool, press star 2. If only have one platform in the company, press star 3. Please vote now. Question 4. If your company has applications running on multiple platforms, do you have a common set of life cycle development processes across the platforms? If do not have applications running on multiple platforms, press star 1. If have applications running on multiple platforms and have a set of common processes across all the platforms, press star 2. If have applications running on multiple platforms, but they each have their own set of life cycle management processes, press star 3. You may vote now. Again, if your company has applications running on multiple platforms, do you have a common set of life cycle development processes across the platforms? If do not have the applications running on multiple platforms, press star 1. If have applications running on multiple platforms and have a set of common processes across the platforms, press star 2. If have applications running on multiple platforms, but they each have their own set of life cycle management processes, press star 3. Please vote now. And question 5, we hope you have enjoyed the teleconference today. Please let us know if you are interested in receiving additional information or follow-up regarding the products discussed today. If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. You may vote now. Again, we hope you have enjoyed the teleconference today. Please let us know if you are interested in receiving additional information or follow-up regarding the products discussed today. If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. Please vote now. And that concludes our survey. Thank you all for your participation. Now let's move to your questions. To ask your question, please press star key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone at any time. And at this time, I will turn the call back over to our speaker while we wait for questions. Mustafa, you may ask your question.
Okay, sure. I just wanted to find out that, I mean, where can I get some more guide on the Kix web service, and I mean how to use that and how to consume it. So if you have, like, you know, any place, I mean, where we can, I mean, get some more, details.
Yeah, so I think where I would start on that is we do have an information center for both Rational Business Developer and Rational Developer for Z with EGL. So it's basically an online information center that has all of our books and documentation. And okay. Under there, you will find a section on generating Kix web services.
Mm-hmm.
And so that will talk about how you can use EGL to, you know, you can write EGL service code that can then get compiled and run or deployed as a Kix web service. And then within our EGL Rich UI documentation, we talk about how you can consume any SOAP service, including a Kix web service, into EGL and call that from your EGL Rich UI application.
Okay. Great.
Yeah, so I would definitely start with the Info Center on that one.
The Info Center, okay. And just one more question. I mean,
yeah.
I went to your website, that Rational Cafe, and I am running that, you know, Rich UI sample mortgage.
Yep.
They calculated. Do you have, like, any guide on that how, like, you know, this was developed? Like, any tutorial or something?
Yeah, so unfortunately, we don't have a guide specifically for that calculator, but we do have some other material which I think may actually be posted in the EGL Rich UI Hub. So if you look on the cafe and you go to the Rich UI Hub, I think there are some blog posts that talk about some proof of technology material that's available for doing that.
Great. Great. Okay, then.
Yep.
So much.
Yep, no problem.
At this time, I show no further questions. I'd like to turn the call back over to you, sir, for closing comments.
Well, thanks, everyone, for joining. And as I mentioned before, definitely start your EGL journey at the EGL Cafe. There's a lot of information out there. Sometimes you may have to dig a little bit for it, but there is a lot of information out there. There's a lot of links to, you know, both our program pages or our product pages out on IBM.com, as well as links to our documentation. As I also mentioned, I think the EGL distance learning is really the best way to get going with EGL. It does require a little bit of upfront investment, but we've heard a lot of great things from the people that have taken the EGL distance learning course. So once again, thanks everyone for joining, and visit the EGL Cafe. Thank you.